congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine building a home in a wilderness, in a hot and dry desert, for instance. What is one of the first things that you will need and what you will want to look after? Well, a steady supply of water, fresh water. So, if you are determined to build a home in a wilderness, the first thing that you will have to do is most likely getting such a water supply. You might want to dig deep into the ground till you reach water, and then build a well so that you can eventually draw water from such a well. After all, you and I, we cannot live without water, can we? Now you might be surprised to hear this, but we too have actually built our home in a wilderness. And this wilderness is not a hot, dry sand with little or no vegetation, but it is a spiritual wilderness. And this is what the world must be called, dear people, a spiritual wilderness, dead and dry and not conducive whatsoever to any sort of spiritual life. But, and this is the great blessing that we may enjoy and rejoice in as well. And what our text chapter actually celebrates, namely, that there are those wells of salvation in the wilderness that we may avail ourselves from, and that we may then also draw water from. And it is the church's privilege, particularly, to know about those wells of salvation, and it is therefore also the church's calling, and it is the church's duty to point people to those wells of salvation. As a preacher of God's word, I wish to do this very thing as we consider our text from Isaiah 12 and verse 3. Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Let us consider this in the following way. Our theme is drawing water from the wells of salvation. Three considerations. One, first, the significance of those wells. Secondly, the preciousness of those wells. And then thirdly, the availability of drawing from those wells. Now, congregation, one of the first things you and I need to know and understand is that our text is written in what I want to call picture language. In university English, you would say metaphor and simile. Picture language. In other words, a descriptive language, you can see it, as it were, before your eyes. Drawing water from the wells of salvation. It conjures up the picture of a guy or of a girl plunging an empty bucket in a well and pulling it up, overflowing with water. Now, we do not see this happening too much today anymore with our modern conveniences of pumps and of taps. But in the olden days, in the days of Israel, and especially in Israel, it was a common everyday sight, drawing water with a bucket from a well. Now, in our own family devotions, we recently read again from Genesis chapter 24 about a servant of Abraham looking for a wife for Isaac, his son, in a far country. And there, once a servant got into this far country, he met up with a beautiful young lady who shows up drawing water from a particular well. And upon this servant's request, she gives him a drink of water and then voluntarily gives all of his 10 camels all the drinking water they need. Now, boys and girls, listen carefully. I am told that a thirsty camel can drink 200 liters of water in 3 minutes. Can you imagine how often this young lady ran back and forth to the well to give all of those 10 camels all the water they needed? You know who this young lady is? Oh, you know her. She became Isaac's wife. Her name is Rebecca. Now, our text speaks of drawing water from a well. But as I said already, it is picture language. It is figurative language, if you will, which means that the words and ideas have a deeper and a spiritual meaning. And this is what I want to show you as well, with the help of God, the Holy Spirit, drawing water from the wells of salvation. Well then, what is the significance of such wells, you might ask? What is the spiritual meaning then of those wells of salvation? Let me quote for a moment from Matthew Henry. He is extremely helpful in this case. And he says, and I quote, "God's promises revealed, ratified, given out to us in His ordinances are the wells of salvation." And I believe he's right on, right on. Those wells of salvation that our text speaks of are the promises of God that come to us as we open God's Word and as we place ourselves under the proclamation, the preaching of the gospel, as you are doing presently. The promises of God, you see, are the wells of salvation. The margin notes of our well-known Dutch state Bible say something similar, and I quote as I interpret it, "Those wells of salvation appear before us whenever the preaching of the Holy Gospel is heard, by which the salvation earned by the Lord Jesus Christ is declared to us." Well now, congregation, I hope you understand this. When this Word of God is opened, when the Bible is opened, the Word of God speaks of the promises in Christ Jesus. And this opened Word of God is like a well of salvation coming into view for you and for me. And whenever this gospel is proclaimed, its everlasting gospel of the promises of forgiveness of sins through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, when such a gospel of forgiveness is proclaimed, it is like a well of salvation that is set before us. And each time the Word of God is opened, when the Word of the Gospel is preached, in which Jesus Christ is exalted, in His great love for sinners, there is a well of salvation opened up for you. And so think of this, congregation. Even as I am busy at this moment preaching the gospel to you, I'm not merely telling you a story. I'm not merely just spilling a few words. I am declaring to you the love of God through Jesus Christ and His salvation. And this can be called a well of salvation that is set before you. Now, not everyone will see it that way. I realize that. Because whoever is still fascinated with what the world has to offer will not see it this way. Whoever has eyes only for the world will miss seeing those wells of salvation. You will see nothing interesting in the Word of God. You will have little or no patience with the preaching of the gospel, and you will walk away from it as soon as possible. But others who have come to understand and appreciate what they hear, you will see then also, they will see those wells of salvation are necessary. Why? Because this world is a spiritual wilderness. You'll have come to understand that this world has nothing to offer that could give you any spiritual nourishment, any spiritual life. Now, you know from experience, no doubt, that if you get caught up in this world and with the things of this world, it will have a withering, it will have a deadening influence upon your spiritual life. And don't you find this true, dear friends, that when you become overly involved, even in legitimate things like politics or the environment, or when you become overly involved in things like sports and hobbies, and dear friends, I'm not against sports or hobbies of any sorts, but when you become overly involved in them, or overly involved in just plain money-making ventures, whatever it might be, it can easily become detrimental and become negative to your spiritual life. Why is this? Again, because this world is a spiritual wilderness, isn't it? And whoever is slavishly, whoever is addictively caught up in this world will, sad to say, will remain dead and dry like the wilderness all around them. Many men and women, many boys and girls who are programmed to what the world can offer them are actually spiritually dying of thirst. Now, they do not realize this, and they may even deny, no, man, I'm not dying of thirst. But it is a proven truth nevertheless. But now, closer to home for a moment. Isn't our heart by nature a spiritual wilderness too? By itself, the unconverted, the unchanged heart can bring forth nothing worthwhile. Oh, it brings forth stuff, all right. Wilderness stuff. Jesus himself spoke of that at one time. You can read of that in Matthew 15, verse 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, making the man or woman unclean. You see, there you have it again. Not only are we living in a worldly wilderness, but our heart, that heart by nature, the heart with which we have been born with, is a spiritual wilderness offering nothing but that can spiritually vitalize us. And this, of course, as you know, is the result of sin, dear people. The result of what happened once in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve opted to listen to the devil instead of listening to God. Then sin came into the world and into the heart of man and made it a spiritual wilderness of both of the world and of man's heart. And this is what you and I must learn to recognize and confess if we have not done so already. Now perhaps it would not hurt to ask, have you learned to recognize the spiritual wilderness inside of you and around you? And have you learned to confess this? Believers, you see, cannot find in this wilderness world any spiritual nourishment. Well then, as believers, we therefore are thankful for those wells of salvation, because the Lord God has placed those wells of salvation so strategically in our life, so that we can find those wells, so that we can draw water from those wells, and that at regular intervals. Now, why are those wells of salvation, or as John Calvin interprets it, wells of the Savior? Why are those wells so significant? Oh, the answer is rather simple. And our boys and girls, no doubt, can answer this. Why are wells of water so important in a wilderness and in a desert? For the water they supply. You know this, don't you? That a well without water is useless. In fact, a dry well can even be dangerous as well and be a hazard. You could fall into one of them and not get out by yourself. Remember the story of Joseph? His brothers wanted to get rid of him, and so they dumped him in a dry well. in order to pull them out later on and sell them to salesmen who went to Egypt. When Abram and Isaac and Jacob traveled through the land of Palestine, they were always in the habit of digging wells. Why? Was it because they were so fond of having good-looking wells on their property? No, not that. But they needed precious water. And if a well gave them no water, it was of no use to them. And it was quickly abandoned by them as well. Well, no. Those wells of salvation we hear about in our text are no dry wells. To the contrary, those wells are precious because they are filled with precious water. Let me therefore say something of that in the second place about the preciousness of those wells. Now let me tell you a little secret. You may know it already. Water is often in the Bible a figure of the preciousness of salvation. And the Bible often uses the idea of water to show how you may come to the enjoyment of salvation. Especially well water, spring water. It is often used in God's Word as a figure of speech for salvation. Let me give you a few examples. Three different Bible texts. Isaiah 41, verses 17 and 18, where the Lord says, "The poor and needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water." And then listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says, and it is recorded for us in John 4 and verse 14 about water. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And then from the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 7 and verse 17. "For the Lamb," that is Jesus Christ, "for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Well, I hope it is clear, dear people, that water is a beautiful figure of speech on what is needed in order to come to salvation and in order to enjoy salvation. The Lord Himself, you see, He has decided to use the figure of speech about water. And I can think of several reasons why it is precious. After all, you all know water is refreshing. It is life-giving to weary travelers in any wilderness. And so is salvation. To you as a believer, nothing is as refreshing, nothing is as life-giving as your salvation in Jesus Christ. Water is nourishing beyond anything else. People, as you know, can live a long time without food and other things, but people cannot live long without water. And so it is with you and me as believers. You can live on without many things, but you cannot do without the salvation and saving energies of Jesus Christ. And then another thing. Water is also a great cleansing agent. It helps to keep the wilderness travelers clean. People, as you know, need to wash regularly, or else they will become dirty, they will become smelly, and you need precious water for this in order to clean up. Well, so it is with you and with me. You cannot do without that precious water of salvation. Salvation by Jesus Christ. It cleanses you and it makes you holy before God. And for that matter, there is no one here who does not need salvation. There's no one here, no one listening in, who would want to miss out on this enjoyment of salvation. As water is precious, so is salvation precious. Precious beyond measure. And, of course, there is where faith comes in, doesn't it? Now, dear people, some listening this hour may not have thought too much yet about this world being a wilderness. But face the facts and get real. The very presence of the wells of salvation testifies that you and I are surrounded by a wilderness. Do not ignore those wells of salvation. You need its precious water. And this water is to be found with Jesus Christ. Let me take you to another Bible text. We've read it already together from John 7. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. In other words, he said it with a loud voice. He cried out saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters." Now you and I, we need precious water because it keeps you from spiritual death. Now, no doubt you know the story of Hagar, boys and girls. She and her little boy named Ishmael, they were at one time put out of the household of Abraham. And so those two, Hagar, the mother, and little Ishmael, found themselves in a desert wilderness south of Bathsheba. But we read then in Genesis 21 that the water in the skin or in the sack was soon used up, and mother Hagar placed her little boy under one of the shrubs to die of thirst. What a sad, sad thing. The boy cried. Hagar, the mother, wept. But then we read in verse 19 of Genesis 21, "Then God opened her eyes and she saw" what? "She saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin, the sack, with water and gave the lad to drink." It was a matter of life and death, but the precious water from the well saved Ishmael's life. Now, dear people, it is a matter of spiritual life and death for you and me that we get to this well of precious water. And it is to be found in Jesus Christ. He is that great well of salvation, offering living water to salvation. Therefore, I plead with you, avail yourself of it. And that, of course, takes me to my last point. Availability, the availability of drawing from those wells. Now, our text speaks of drawing water from the wells of salvation. And this is what you and I are called to do, you see. Draw water from the wells of salvation. Again, as I said before, this is picture language. It is figurative language for going to Jesus, for bowing for Him, for believing in Him. Drawing water. It is a fitting figure of speech. Because, and listen carefully, you can only draw water from a well, how? With an empty bucket. And this is how you and I must come to Jesus. With an empty bucket, which means that you are empty of yourself, wanting, desiring the water of life, of salvation. And this is how you must come to Jesus Christ. Drawing water. The spiritual meaning, I hope, is clear to you now. It is coming to Jesus. It is asking Jesus. It is confiding. It is entrusting yourself to Jesus. And this is the invitation that I might extend to you also this hour. Remember, Jesus himself has said it clearly. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Come to Jesus. Speak with Jesus about your need. Let him know that the wilderness of this world is not satisfying you, but that it is leaving you spiritually empty and thirsty. Therefore, come to Jesus and trust yourself to him. Ask him to fill him with him, fill you with himself. And dear people, this is what it means to draw water from the wells of salvation. And you do not need to fear in coming that he will turn you away. He, Jesus Christ, is a great host. He has plenty to give. And he gives it freely without money and without price. And he can satisfy you to the uttermost. Besides, there is also this great encouragement for you in the words of our text when it says that with joy you will draw water. And joy, after all, it excludes fear. Joy excludes hesitancy. Therefore, it says, with joy. Now, I must admit that it needs to be learned to draw water, to come to Jesus and to believe in Jesus and to do that with joy. But you see, the Holy Spirit can teach you this marvelously. And experienced believers, they will no doubt be able to tell you that it is a joy to go to Jesus Christ. And it brings joy to believe in him. It will bring joy in heaven as well. It brings joy in your heart and in your life. Now, the first time in coming to Jesus may seem a little bit unusual to you. You may go to him with a measure of fear and trembling, but as you experience how welcome you are with Jesus, you will be encouraged to go to him again and again and again. And therefore, let the words of our text be of great encouragement. Jesus himself is the great well of salvation. He has made himself readily available. With him is the water of life. And the water of salvation. He has earned that when he died on the cross of Calvary. He has earned that water of salvation. Come therefore, dear people. Come with your empty buckets. Come empty of yourself. And begin to draw water of salvation. With this available well, Jesus Christ. Take the plunge. You will not regret it. The water of salvation is there in great abundance. Come and with joy draw water from this well of salvation. And I promise you will make it through this wilderness of life. Because this living water will protect you from spiritual death. And one day, perhaps one day soon, you will arrive in this new creation. Known as the new heaven and the new earth, where Jesus Christ lives and reigns. An angel once showed this to the Apostle John in a vision, and I read from Revelation 22, verse 1 and 2, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. You see, dear people, then we will not need to draw water with an empty bucket anymore. But Jesus, the water of life, will satisfy you beyond any imagination, any measure. It is the place where streams of pleasure ever flow and boundless joys abide. But for now, let us draw water from the wells of salvation, found in the Word of God and found in the person of Jesus Christ, explained in this Word of God. Well, now perhaps you say, I don't feel thirsty, and I don't see this world as a wilderness. Well, my dear friend, believe the Word of God. This Word of God is serious about the dangers that are surrounding you and are perhaps still deep inside of you. Now, I am told by reliable medical sources that when one is physically dying of thirst, the brain is the first organ to begin to break down, and then other organs follow suit. And I'm quoting precisely from this medical professional. You then will not feel or realize that you are thirsty and dying of thirst. Now, this is how it is spiritually as well. You do not feel thirsty because that spiritual organ of your mind and of your heart has begun already to break down. And soon this spiritual wilderness will also take you down. My friend, God's Word has something to tell you. Whether you feel thirsty or not, whether you feel that you're in a nice area and it's not really wilderness, whether you're thirsty or not, Jesus Christ calls you this hour to come to Him and to drink. I'm always struck with how the Bible ends with this particular invitation, Revelation 22 verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, there you have it, let him who thirsts, whoever, let him come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Therefore, come to Jesus. He is the great and available well of salvation. And you will never thirst again.